This is the Hockey News Podcast.
All right, Ryan, we're back with our season previews here. Yes. Let's start with, we started with the Central Division. We're now
start with the Pacific.
The Pacific Division. Now we are on the Central Division.
Yes.
So Ryan, let's just hop right into it. Let's no dilly-dally. Let's go. The Arizona Coyotes, a team that, look, we're just going to talk about on ice here, I guess, because I don't want to talk about municipal votes or anything ever again.
Fair.
But this is a team that was very bad last year, by design, it seemed. And it's not going to be as bad, it seems, this year. They added some pieces. How long they'll stay, we'll see. But, you know, a team that, you know, adding Jason Zucker, Matt Dumba, Sean Durzi, Troy Stetcher, you know, Nick Bjugstad coming back, Alex Kerfoot. Those are players that can somewhat, you know, move the needle for a team that really needs them.
Yeah, and it's going to be an interesting year for the Coyotes because, obviously, Logan Cooley signed his entry-level deal, leaving the University of Minnesota after one incredibly successful season where the Gophers went to the championship game, overtime at that, losing to Quinnipiac. He was a finalist for the Hobie Baker. As a freshman, which is incredible. And we thought he was going to stay for another year, but he had a change of heart during the summer. So all of a sudden, Arizona has what was one of the best prospects outside of the NHL now coming to them. And, you know, you got Clayton Keller there already. You got Nick Schmaltz up front already. So there was some firepower. But Logan Cooley could be a game changer. It'll be very interesting to see, what he can accomplish in his first pro season. And then you also have guys like Dylan Gunther, who have already gotten their feet wet in the NHL. Jack McBain, who's more of a, you know, middle six, maybe even bottom six guy in a perfect world. And as you mentioned, Dumba and Durzi, I think that's huge for the blue
huge,
line.
Huge, yeah.
Just the mobility and the transition play from those guys alone, I think is great. And then, you know, Carl Vejmelka has been under the radar.
Absolutely.
One of Arizona's best players the past couple of seasons. So I think this is going to be sort of another scrappy Arizona squad. Like last year, it's funny. Like we expected them to be like terrible. And, you know, they ended up drafting sixth overall.
Yeah.
You know, they were not like straight up lottery finalist kind of team. Clearly, the Coyotes building for the future, and that future is going to be big, physically speaking. The Russians they got, Maverick Lamoureux, Connor Geeky, but that's a couple of years down the line. So for now, it feels like and this is something we talked about with some of the other teams in the Pacific. It's like you don't want to have a losing culture. You know, you want a team that is sort of like rising up together.
Exactly.
And, I don't think the Coyotes are going to necessarily be a playoff contender this year.
Absolutely not.
but at the least, you know, the addition of Logan Cooley, I think, really changes the complexion of this squad where it's like, okay, they've got some high-end talent that can play with Clayton Keller now. Let's see what they can do.
Absolutely. I think, look, this is a team that it's very similar to San Jose, I think, in the sense that this is a team that can really harvest its rental players at the deadline to get even more draft picks that they'll have. And look, they getting like just from a tangible sense, Matt Dumba, Sean Durzi, Jason Zucker, Alex Kerfoot, Nick Bjugstad, like these are players that are, and even adding Logan Cooley and Dylan Gunther in there as rookies, these are players that are going to make your team better.
Yeah.
There's players they didn't really have last year, or they either didn't have at all, or had for like a couple games till they went to the World Juniors last year, that you add them into the lineup now, they're going to make your team better. It'll never shock me, or never make me laugh, I would say, that they have basically $23 million in injured reserve players, they're playing $20,000 in Oliver Ekman-Larsson's dead cap this year, and then they also have basically $2 million in buyout dead cap. So that's, it's like almost $25 million in money that to players that are not playing for them this year.
Right.
And they still have $3 million, $4 million, in cap space to work with. But look, this is a team that will at least, last year, even though they were plucky and they only finished sixth last, the fact that, look, we're saying they finished sixth last in the league, or they drafted sixth, and we're like, yeah, they did better.
Right.
But, like,
they exceeded expectations.
For most teams, you'd look at the Arizona Coyotes, and it'd be an automatic W, like, on your on your schedule. Like, most teams would pencil that in. I don't think that it's like that this year. I think they...
Yeah, I agree.
And, you know, at the deadline, when people are looking for you know, like, players to sort of stock up on like a Matt Dumba deadline acquisition at you know 50% retained could potentially net you a first round pick. Same with Jason Zucker. Kerfoot, depending on what he can do. You know, it's a 2-year deal for him, but he can go. Like they have pieces to work with. And getting Sean Durzi is huge. Like that's your power play quarterback potentially for, you know, like your franchise power play quarterback right there. He's someone who I think, you know, he obviously has stuff to improve on in the defensive game, but he's shown a lot offensively. And just poise and being a puck mover. He's a right shot, 24. Mm-hmm. So I think like there's finally we're starting to see some bit of the of what the new building is going to look like from the rubble of the like the meteor that hit the last one.
Right.
So we'll have to see, but I do think that they're going to finish either for last or second last in this division, I think this year.
Yeah, most likely. And, you know, you're right about, you know, sort of trade deadline bait. But at the same time, you know, you want to keep some of those players,
exactly, yeah,
that connective tissue where the guys that have been in the league for a few years already, or, you know, in the case of Dumba, you know, quite a few years in what has been a very solid career, where you can help shepherd that next generation where, you know, you want guys that can... they can mentor Logan Cooley.
Yes.
And, you know, he actually, if I'm not mistaken, shares an agent with Clayton Keller.
Oh,
so they probably have some familiarity with each other just by virtue of, you know, like informal skates or, you know, who knows.
Yeah. Even just like meet and greets. And,
and I'm sure they've texted each other, things like that. But, you know, you want that connected tissue so when the next generation comes up, it's not all on them. And I think that's what Arizona has right now is like guys... Kerfoot being a perfect example, who have seen a lot already in their careers.
No kidding. Yeah.
And can help out in the teaching aspect as well as taking on meaningful minutes.
Yeah. He's seen a lot of empty nets that he did not capitalize on. That's something he's seen. All right. The Chicago Blackhawks, a team that is, you know, they're bringing in a generational player in Connor Bedard. So I think that's obviously like their biggest thing. They're adding a you know, potential nuclear weapon to their arsenal here.
Yeah.
But also on top of that, you add Taylor Hall. He's still a very, very serviceable player. He's a top six player. And then you bring in the veterans of Nick Foligno and Corey Perry to these big deals. You know, you're able to sort of like mold the roster. You're able to keep Andrei Athanasiu. You know, Tyler Johnson, we'll see if he's healthy coming back. The goaltending is obviously, like, look, they're not going to do much, really.
No.
But they have enough insulation. They have, when it comes to, like, character guys, Connor Bedard is going to be very well taken care of, I think, in that locker room. They're making sure that they're... their Fabergé egg, you know, has enough security around it to be protected.
Yeah, I mean, what I like about the Blackhawks in their summer is that you can see the plan.
Absolutely.
And, you know, in getting Connor Bedard, that's like a huge gift from the hockey gods winning that lottery. But they went out and they did the right thing, where it's like Nick Foligno and Corey Perry are going to make sure that no one messes with Connor Bedard on the ice. And I'm just going to assume that one of them is going to be his landlord.
Yeah.
You know.
Connor Bedard will live in, like, Corey Perry's basement.
Yeah, slash billet.
Yeah.
You know. So, and they'll teach him the ropes.
Father, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, you have Seth Jones on the back end where, you know, he has a lot of leadership qualities to him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I look at that pipeline, too, and it's like they didn't just get Connor Bedard. They got Oliver Moore, one of the best skaters in the draft, if not the best skater. They got Adam Guyon, who's, to me, one of the best goaltenders in the draft. Don't forget, they had Frank Nazar already, who missed most of last season as a freshman with Michigan due to injury. He's back and healthy. So when I look at the long term of Chicago, it's like, okay, yes, I get it. You know, it's like Bedard, that's your gem. And then you got Lucas Reichel coming up as well. This will be a huge year for him.
Kevin Korchinski
on the back end. So like they got a lot of good prospects. You basically want to surround Bedard with people that can help him hone his game at the NHL level, support him, And he's your guy.
Yeah.
You know, like Taves and Kane are gone now.
Yep.
Or at least Taves is gone for you know this season.
Well, no,
who knows what he'll do after that? I mean, I know that
he's a free agent though.
He's a free agent.
He is gone.
Yeah. Who knows what will happen in the future? But you know, Taves and Kane are gone. You know, we are all expecting this to be the Bedard era.
Yep.
And I think what they've done is set themselves up for long term success. Short term, I think they're really going to struggle,
yes.
Particularly like on defense and in net. But that's okay. You get
that's
another
what they
high
want,
pick,
man. Yeah.
You know. Like we talked about Max Celebrini on the Pacific Division podcast, but Cole Iserman, who's mm-hmm. probably the number two,
yep.
is a deadly
He's
goal
phenomenal.
Scorer.
Yeah.
Incredible goal scorer. He's a winger. The idea of Connor Bedard and Cole Iserman on the line is just baffling. Mm-hmm. That would be incredibly sick. And again, just for narrative purposes, I hope it happens.
Yeah.
Because I want to see Bedard, you know, have somebody like that on his wing. And maybe Oliver Moore's on the other wing. Oliver Moore can kind of play a couple of different positions up front. Or maybe it's just Lucas Reichel, who they already have.
Yeah.
So, I mean, long term, yeah, Chicago's going to be super fun to watch in the future. This season, for me, it's all about let's just see what Bedard can do. I want to have my mind blown. And that's pretty much it.
And even next year, like, they have two first-round picks, three second-rounders, two thirds.
Mm-hmm.
Only one fifth. And then the next year on top of that, they have two first-round picks, two second-round picks, two fourth-round. Like they still have. This is only the beginning of the rebuild.
Yeah.
Thankfully, luckily they landed on like the prize jewel of what every rebuild is centered around, which is a generational player.
Yeah. And a center at that.
And a generational player center, you know, guy who's committed to them, all that.
Yeah.
But then they have a very good cupboard that's only going to get stronger mm-hmm. with a, like, and I said it again, like you can, if you really want to, you can harvest this roster for picks and futures and assets at the deadline. Like mm-hmm. I'm assuming they're not going to want to trade all of the mentors. But even trading a guy like Andreas Anfassiou, or you know like Jason Dickinson, Philip Kurashev, you know even Ryan Donato, guys like that. Like if you want to deal them at the deadline to contenders, those guys will come at a pretty penny. Like you could get, you package some of those guys together, maybe a first round picks in your future. Who knows? And that's just another sort of like bunch of money to throw on the fire, you know, or throw on the pile. Like
and the other thing you can do is you already have multiple first round picks, as you mentioned in the next couple of drafts. Yeah. But
you
when you're
those.
Looking to, you almost go the other way
yeah.
where when you need to surround Bedard with more high-end talent, you can burn one of those
Absolutely.
First rounders or even two of them on a big-name player from another team where you say to yourself, okay,
it's
now
time
we're
to
ready
take
to
a
roll.
Step.
Yeah.
Let's turn our futures into the present, you know?
Exactly.
Exactly. I think, yeah. So, look, this will be a team that will likely finish last in its division. They will likely be vying for, like you said, a top one or two pick.
Yeah.
But that's kind of by design. They got their centerpiece. They got the foundation, the bedrock of what their entire next era of hockey will be.
Yeah.
The rest is just making sure that they can fill out the structure with very stable pieces, and I think they're able to do that.
Indeed.
All right, the Colorado Avalanche. Nathan MacKinnon's extension kicks in, so he's now the highest paid player in the league. $12.6 million, good for him. But
that's right.
We have every indication that Valery Nichushkin will also be able to rejoin the team. So that's a big reason why they didn't do super well in the playoffs is they had their choo-choo train gone.
Right.
But getting like Ryan Johansson and Ross Colton. The Miles Wood contract still boggles my mind. I had a full-on meltdown in the studio when that happened.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's there. Jonathan Drouin is a nice flyer that they added. They're really, other than losing Alex Newhook and JT.
And Landeskog again.
And JT Compher. Landeskog's out for the year. But other than losing Newhook and JT Compher, they didn't really subtract a ton, and we saw how good this team can be at full strength. And they added, like Ryan Johansson still had a pretty good year last year, despite the fact that, maybe not that was worthy of his contract, but at 50%, like at $4 million, that's great. Ross Colton is going to have a way bigger role, and he's one of the most efficient players in the league in terms of him producing with his ice time. The Miles Wood, I guess, is fast.
Hard to play against.
And that's
big forechecker.
Matt Miles Wood is fast. And that is it. This is an incredible hockey team. I think this is my pick for the division leader.
Yeah, I would agree. I might actually go. I might go Dallas, but I think Colorado's going to have a lot of playoff success. Obviously, they have all the motivation in the world. You know, yeah. Going from Cup champions to out in the first round, obviously that's not going to sit well, especially with a competitor like Nathan MacKinnon. Mm-hmm. I think Ryan Johansson's a really good fit as number two center.
Absolutely.
You know, they lost Nazem Kadri, obviously, last summer, and they didn't have, like, a perfect fit behind MacKinnon.
Comfort did enough to earn a great contract from himself.
Yeah, but ideally, JT Comfort's your third line.
Exactly.
Shutdown guy.
Yeah.
So I think Johansson's much better suited to a number two role. Mm-hmm. And, you know, MacKinnon, obviously, you know, expectations are going to be, you know, 100 points plus again.
Absolutely.
You know? And then, obviously, Cale Makar is going to be the star on defense, you know, potential Norris Trophy once again. You got Devon Taves. You know, if Bowen Byram can stay healthy, then you have yet another mobile defenseman.
Absolutely.
Just like an embarrassment of riches for them. Goaltending, I'm still kind of like...
Dude, Georgiev was really good last year.
It's true.
Yeah.
And again, like, we saw this with Darcy Kuemper when they won the Cup. It's like they just needed a goaltender that could, you know, make timely saves. He didn't have to steal games.
No.
He just couldn't lose them. I think Georgiev is sort of in that same category and has fared well, as you mentioned, his first season. That to me, that's sort of like conference final problems where it's like, do you have enough to get past whether it's Edmonton or Vegas or Dallas. Mm-hmm. But that's really sort of nitpicking at this point. Otherwise, I really like this team. I think they're going to have the right mindset going into the season. And whether they win the division or just get a high seed, I think we know that this is a team that you're not going to want to play in the playoffs.
Here's the thing as well, before we move on to Dallas, is that Colorado's pissed.
Totally.
They got embarrassed in the first round.
Yeah.
Like, against a team, they had home ice advantage. They were, you know, they were the higher seed. They were the defending Stanley Cup champions, even though they were missing their captain and Nichushkin. Like, you're playing a Seattle, a team that, you know, was in its first year of existence when you won the Cup last year.
Right.
And you lost. You lost game seven on home ice. Mm-hmm. So that's tough. This is and the likes of Cale Makar, Nathan MacKinnon will hold a grudge if you eat refined sugar, like, let alone losing in the Cup final. Like, right. I wouldn't discount the impact of a motivated Avalanche, because I think last year it was they dealt with just like unforeseen injuries. Yeah. Like half this team was missing throughout most of the year. Like, it was crazy. Like, Alex Galchenyuk was in their top six for, like, a good chunk of the year because they had to. There was no one else.
Right.
But they can they were recovering. Now they're kind of rested. They've had a longer summer than they've had in a very long time. Mm-hmm. Everyone's ready. Everyone's in their primes. Everyone's being paid what they, you know, like, no one's. I think this is going to be a very motivated team.
I agree.
It's going to be great. All right, Dallas Stars, your pick for the division, it seems. And to be fair, they had a phenomenal offseason. You know, getting Matt Duchene at $3 million, absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
Just, like, they didn't even really have to add a ton. Like, Craig Smith is a fine addition. Keeping Dodonov, he fit in really well with them.
Yeah.
I mean, they lost Max Domi, and Max Domi fit in really well with them too.
Yeah.
But they didn't have to do a ton. This is a team that has remarkable depth, remarkable high-end talent signed to really good deals. Mm-hmm. And obviously they have the franchise, one of the best goaltenders in the league, and a franchise guy signed to a good deal as well in Ottinger.
Yeah.
There's very few holes on this roster.
It's very true. And, you know, ultimately, I think it's going to come down to details with Dallas, because we know they're going to be a really good regular season team. You know, Jason Robertson, Ruby Hintz, like, that's the present in Dallas. Joe Pavelski, I mean, based on how he's played lately, I wouldn't be surprised if he has another incredible season. He just doesn't seem
to age. He just gets better.
He just gets better with age. He's the Benjamin Button of the NHL.
Yeah, for real.
You still have Tyler Seguin and Jamie Benn, both of whom have taken on sort of different roles, but effective ones.
But Benn had a resurgence, like, obviously. The
Benaissance.
He had a Benaissance. And the way he, that's a phenomenal.
I didn't come up with it.
I was going to say, I don't know why we didn't.
Parroting it?
I'm not sure we did. I don't know why we didn't use it more. But, like, last year, I picked out Jamie Benn in fantasy, like, middle of the year, just as, like, a one-week flyer. Uh-huh. And I wrote him the rest of the season. He was phenomenal. And Sagan, like, a little, to a lesser extent, production-wise, but he's become much more capable two-way.
Much better defensively.
But, like, you have Jamie Benn at like an almost, like Jamie Benn was hovering around point per game.
Yeah. And then you bring in a very motivated Matt Duchene.
Oh, yeah.
Who still has wheels and
is
still contributing.
And is like looking, he's in the same division with the team that basically slapped him in the face.
Exactly.
Like we talk about pissed off teams, like Matt Duchene
is good revenge games.
Is gonna write some very catty country songs about the Nashville Predators.
And he can still play at country bars because he's playing in Dallas.
There you go.
So it worked out very well for him, both on and off the ice. I agree with you on Ottinger. I think he's one of the best goalies in the league. And when I talk about details, you know, the blue line is, it's obviously Miro Heiskanen's defense core. When it comes to details, I'm very interested to see if Ryan Suhr is still in the Dallas lineup in the playoffs. Because I think he really hurt them. And, you know, it's situational, right? Like, I don't know what his overall analytics were, but
he
it's
was
like,
bad.
Okay, so the eye test and the analytics obviously lined up there.
It was rough. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that's the big question for me is, you know, once you get to the trade deadline, do you fortify enough that Ryan Suter is like your number seven?
Mm-hmm.
If he's still playing meaningful minutes, then again, we're talking like conference finals here because I think Dallas is that good.
Oh, absolutely.
I think they could win I think they could play for the cup.
Mm-hmm.
I think they could probably win the cup.
Yeah.
But it's those little tweaks, those little details where, you know, when you're playing against a Vegas, for example, and you can't make mistakes, what does your roster look like?
Absolutely.
You have a roster that will limit mistakes at opportune times, or do you get exposed by a player or two on your lineup? So I think it's all fine-tuning for the Stars at this point.
Yeah, well, I think what will happen, depending on, like, what will answer your question on whether Ryan Suter is still in the lineup by the time they reach conference finals is what we see from Nils Lundqvist and Thomas Harley. I think if either of those, because those are, you know, Lundqvist is 23, Harley is 22. These are both first-round picks. They're both, you know, or I believe Harley is first-round. You might have been second.
Yeah, he was
18th overall. So these are two guys that are going to, like, Lundqvist was, and he was traded for a first-round pick. That's a guy who is going to factor in. And if those guys can take a next step, become regular, you know, like high-quality contributors, they don't need Sutter. Because Sutter, like, he cost them that series, that final series against Vegas. Like, it was, like, he was every single time Vegas scored a timely goal, it was Ryan Suter on the bat, on the receiving end of it, really, looking skyward, you know, in the shot after.
Yeah.
He's 38. So, like, look, he plays a physical game, so you're coming to the end of your rope here.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can get, if either of those guys, one or both, give you consistent, good minutes, are able to form something of a, you know, a Nick Hague,
Zach Whitecloud kind of
sort of third pairing, right? Like, which we will talk about in a little, we already talked about that. Jeez Louise. Then That really changes that changes the complexion of your team.
Very true.
And that answers your question, right? All right. Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting team.
Yes.
It's interesting given how much their cap situation is really, like, how much dead cap they have. They still actually do have cap space, though, going into LTIR, which is very impressive for them. They didn't make a ton of huge moves, really, in the offseason.
It's the buyouts that hamstring.
It's the buyout. Yeah, it's the buyouts that they have basically $15 million in dead cap, which is really tough. But they still have Kirill Kaprizov. Matt Boldy is getting his new extension. Zuccarello, Joel Eriksson-Ek, Marcus Foligno, Frederick Goudreau, who had a great year last year, is coming to his own. Spurgeon, Brodin, Dumba's off the books. And I think he wanted to stay. They couldn't make it work, but he was also a healthy scratch at certain points last year. So it was very tough. This just seems like the Wild, they have a lot of good pieces, but for me, it just seems like they have a very sort of defined ceiling.
Yeah.
And it's like a second round ceiling maybe to me, maybe. And that just makes me sad a little bit.
Yeah, it feels like they haven't had that number one center, and they've been blessed with incredible wingers in Kaprizov and Boldy. you know, you can kind of play the what if machine with Marco Rossi. Like, what if he didn't get like serious COVID during that year that really cost him that development? We haven't seen production from him at the NHL level yet. We've seen him do very well at the AHL level.
And he's 21.
And he's 21. He's still young.
He's basically 20 given how he missed an entire year of his
Totally.
So
I think
grade him on a curve here.
Yeah, yeah. And to be fair, you know, I think I look at him through a lens of, like, I watched him play in the OHL for the Ottawa 67s. And talking to scouts, they were like, he's the most NHL-ready player in this draft. And that was, like, the Quentin Byfield draft.
Yeah.
But again, circumstances dictated that Rossi just hasn't gotten there yet. Byfield obviously had a breakthrough in LA last year, particularly at the end. But you know, if Rossi could be a center at the NHL level, maybe he is that guy you've been searching for. You know, or maybe you don't have that guy yet. I think Charlie Strahmel was a really intriguing first round pick because he's a huge body.
Yeah.
And he is a center, but obviously he's not ready yet. He's going to go to the University of Wisconsin and develop. Well, no, sorry, he's already at the University of Wisconsin.
But he's
he was a
back.
Freshman.
Yeah.
Going back for a sophomore year with a new coach, and I think that's going to be huge for that program and Strahmel. But it does feel like Minnesota is just like missing a couple of pieces that would put them in that upper tier. Mm-hmm. And goaltending is going to be very interesting to watch. Is this Philip Gustafson's team now?
Yeah.
I know we're going to see Marc-Andre Fleury because he's closing in on Patrick Waugh for, is it Patrick Waugh for wins?
I believe it is, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think he needs eight.
Yeah, he's gonna get that.
So he'll get it.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be surprised if we saw more Philip Gustafson.
Because Gustafson was absolutely incredible.
Yeah. So that's sort of a transition they're making. And like I said, like we're waiting on some guys. Some guys are already there. But it does feel like this is a team that, and again, like once the cap goes up,
it'll be a lot easier.
It'll be a lot easier for Bill Guerin because right now it's like with all that, you know, dead cap space, they can only do so much.
Yes.
So I think this is going to be kind of a middling year for the Wild. Maybe they're a playoff team, but it'll be interesting to see.
I think they did a really good job of building out this roster and keeping it, you know, like good, competitive, and deep, deep relative wise with the cap constraints that they've been given.
Yes.
Or they've given themselves, I guess, because he did that. But that also needed to happen, those buyouts.
Yeah.
One thing that I think is really important, he doesn't even have a contract right now, but if Kalen Addison can take a step for them.
True.
Because he started last year, and he was a big sort of fantasy sleeper for this because of this reason. He started last year on their top power play unit, and he... You know, he's not going to be, he's a very sort of offensively focused defenseman. If he is able to take another step, become more consistent and get that back, I think that'll be huge for them because he's 23 years old. He has these offensive instincts that he can use. He just hasn't been consistent with them. If he can gain some of that consistency, I think that really rounds out a blue line that, you know, right outside of like Spurgeon and Brodin, I really don't think has like a lot of elite talent on it.
Right.
It's a lot of sort of workmen.
Yeah.
I think it you know, you have Spurgeon, who I think is a top four guy, obviously, but then there's a lot of bottom, you know, bottom four, bottom pair guys that are making out the rest. If Addison can prove to be like an offensively inclined, maybe like the destitute man's version of Evan Bouchard from last year.
Right.
And I say not poor, not, you know, destitute. I mean, he's not going to be a point per game guy.
No.
But I think if he can take a step forward, I think that's really important as a young, cost-controlled guy who can help you when we're talking about how constrained they are financially.
Indeed.
All right, Nashville. Mm-hmm. They really, Barry Trotz was like, I'm gonna put my stamp on free
that's
agency,
right.
Given that he signed Ryan O'Reilly, Gustav Nyquist, Luke Shen. Tyson Barry is still in the fold, so good for him. Yeah, but Luke Shen, all that, like, just a remarkable amount of bodies coming in, and yet not a lot of top line talent, really.
No, I kind of worry that Nashville is a playoff team that doesn't make the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like a guy like Ryan O'Reilly is the perfect example.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, oh, you don't want to face him in the playoffs.
But you have to get there.
You got to get there. You know, Cody Glass had a great breakout season.
Staff and Graph guest from last
week. That's right. Yep. You know, you look at Philip Forsberg. Mm-hmm. You know, when he's healthy, he's an incredible goal scorer. He can be your 40-goal guy.
UC Saros is still making your height supremacy.
That's right. He's the exception to the rule,
he is,
right?
Yep.
You always have to have the exception to the rule. UC Saros mm-hmm. is, you know, both shorter than me and much better than me at hockey. Facts are facts, right? He's better. I'll just say it now.
Oh wow! What a hot take!
He's better than me at hockey.
Why would you say something so controversial and yet so brave?
I know. Yeah. But yeah, I do feel like, you know, this is a year where, I mean, I'd like to see some young guys like really step up for Nashville. Mm-hmm. I think there's going to be opportunities. Phil Tomasino's been around for a few years already.
Yes.
Luke Evangelista has come up. And, you know, a great junior player, had some success at the AHL level. So, like, let's see what he can do. Can he play all 82 games, mm-hmm. right? And now, granted, these are not guys that are those sort of difference makers that you were talking about.
Yes.
I think they're kind of more sort of second-line guys. But it would be nice to see sort of the fruits of those labors. Because I do think Nashville, it's going to be interesting to see what the transition is like. I mean, Barry Trotz, he knows this organization, but mm-hmm. he is technically new to the organization,
yes.
You know, coming from the outside. And this is his first time as a GM.
Yeah.
So what do we see? I mean, obviously Ryan Johansson's gone, Matt Duchene's gone. It's going to be fascinating to see. I think this is like Minnesota, this is just kind of a middle of the pack team.
A building year.
Yeah, it's like playoffs are a possibility, but not a guarantee. But I'm interested to see. I don't know what the future plan is yet.
Yeah, I this is one of those teams that's really in the purgatory kind of sense, like where I just don't know where they're going. I really think it could go either way, where like they could get a little bit of success and add and try and go for it.
Yeah.
Or all these guys who are old. And, you know, like, they've also, if you look at their roster, like, they have a lot of money coming off the books next year. So, but they have a lot of guys who could just kind of fall off, and they have to go, all right, well, I guess we're rebuilding. Like, you have no idea, right? So it's, they sold off last year the deadline for the first time in a very long time. And, and they got a lot for their guys.
Indeed.
But then I wonder, like, if this doesn't work out, do we see Roman Josi leave? Do we see UC Saros? He was in trade conversations a lot. And, yeah, they have a new head coach, which is huge too. Very interesting to see where they go. Like you said, definitely middle pack. Like I feel like they're going to finish like 20th, 19th. They're going to pick like 19th overall.
Yeah.
You know, where they didn't make the playoffs, but they're not getting a top 10 or even top 15 pick. It'll be middle of the pack there. All right, St. Louis, a team that is that's trying to turn it around here.
Yeah.
This is another team that they could go either way for me.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's almost like when we were talking about Nashville just now, I was thinking, it's like, are they last year's St. Louis Blues? Where it's like, this isn't working.
So let's sell.
Yeah.
Doug Armstrong did it's Doug, right? It's not Bill.
Yeah. It is Doug,
He did a great job of I always love when a GM recognizes early-ish in the year where it's like,
we don't have it.
Like, we don't have it.
Yeah.
And it's early enough where we can salvage this. So it's a wrap on this year.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's get what we can, strip it down. And they did they got 3 first-round picks for it. So
And it's kind of funny for a guy, like Doug Armstrong has had so much success in his NHL career. It's like for a guy who doesn't have to rebuild, he did a pretty good job starting a rebuild.
Absolutely.
And I think the good thing about St. Louis is like, well, I don't know if this is a good thing or not. It depends on how you look at it. Like, they're never going to be really bad because you've already got Jordan Kyrou and Robert Thomas established as legit NHL point producers.
And even on top of that, Braden Schenn, Pavel Buchnevich, Brandon Saad, they added Kevin Hayes. Like, those are, you know, Jacob Vrana was really good for them after he got there. Like, you have guys who are going to, like you said, who are going to loft your floor up.
Yeah. Now, you know, the defense corps, I still believe in Scott Perunovic getting healthy and being awesome.
Yeah.
But that's obviously an X factor. You know, Colton Parayko, obviously, you know, they need to see more out of him. Goaltending, I know Jordan Binnington was your bete noir last year. But they need more from him.
They do.
Right? Like, if they want to be a playoff team, they need more out of Jordan Binnington.
Because their other guy is Joel Hoffer.
Yeah, and Joel Hoffer was good last year.
Yeah.
If Joel Hoffer steps up, then maybe that's the solution to the problem.
Yeah, then you have a $6 million boat anchor.
Yeah, or you just have, you know, you have two guys that play kind of 40, you know, you just go with a battery.
All right.
Who knows?
Who's to say?
Who's to say? Yes. But I do feel like the Blues, there's just like, there's something missing there where I think, you know, they've drafted really well recently. Jimmy Snuggerud is going to be massive
gonna be
for
phenomenal.
Them.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to have another massive year at the University of Minnesota. And then, you know, I mean, if I were him, I would probably leave and go to the NHL because he's a big body already. So he doesn't have to worry about, you know, like size and bulking up. Like, he's already got the frame. But, you know, they've got some good futures coming up now. And
Dalibor Dvorsky, they got this.
Dalibor Dvorsky is another one where it's
Zachary
like
Zachary Bolduc, you know,
Dvorsky, who was their first pick this year, super smart. He is a center, and again, probably a player that doesn't need too much more time. You know, he's already playing against men over in Europe, and he'll do so again. But you know, I can see the next wave coming for St. Louis.
Yeah,
and I think that's exciting. Where you know, you look at a top six that features Dvorsky, Snuggerud, Kyrou, Thomas, that's a great start. Not even counting some of the veterans that'll still be around.
I think Buchnevich was a phenomenal... Like
Buchnevich, toss him in there as well. He's not even that old, really.
Buchnevich, he's 28, so he's up there. But like Buchnevich was like getting him. That trade is one of the most underrated fleeces of the cap era, in my opinion. Like like Sammy Blais, a guy who didn't do anything, and they have... They got him back. Like, so it's
they traded him. He got hurt. He came back.
Yeah, exactly. So and on that, like this is a team that and Kevin Hayes for the money, like you know at you know half salary basically, which is what he got. Kevin Hayes was selected to the All-Star team last year. So you know I know that's a
the Philadelphia Flyers.
Yeah, but still he did it. He got it. Look, I think that this is a
can't take it away from him.
I think this is a team that. I think it's a little. I think it's a step ahead of Nashville, in my opinion. I do think that, like, or a half step.
Yeah,
I think,
maybe.
Like, I think that they will finish. If we're talking about those two teams, like, they'll finish like fourth and fifth.
Yeah.
But the Blues will finish fourth, miss the playoffs. I don't think they're a playoff team, but they'll get close. And then finally, we got the Winnipeg Jets, who didn't really do a ton, obviously, other than you know signing Nemesnikov, or re-signing Nemesnikov. Sorry, they still have Niederreiter. In there, like other than that, not
they lost Dubois.
They obviously lost Dubois, but they got, you know, they got the Rasmus Kupari, Gabe Vilardi, and
Alex Iafallo.
So those are three. Look, a guy who didn't want to be there anymore, you know, who just didn't seem like he was happy.
Mm-hmm.
They get three, you know, like capable to above average NHL forwards. They're all signed for. You know, like a good amount. Like they all have the, I would say, sort of like stability in terms of their team ownership.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad.
Not bad. Yeah, and you know, Winnipeg was very strange last year because you know when Rick Bowness came in as coach originally, it really felt like he righted the ship.
Mm-hmm.
And then
they fell apart.
And then they fell apart at the end. It's like, oh, I thought Rick Bowness was the answer, but we don't know what was going on behind the scenes. I mean, if Pierre-Luc Dubois was openly unhappy. How does that impact things?
They
have a lot
of that because look, Blake Wheeler is
also gone.
Is a good dude, but they bought out their captain.
Yeah,
I think that like there's a lot on the line here.
There is, and it's an interesting transition for Winnipeg because they do have guys like Kyle Connor and Nikolai Ehlers, and then Josh Morrissey. You know, obviously had a huge offensive breakout from the blue line last year, was super important to them. They still have Connor Hellebuck and net.
Yep.
You know, they just re-signed Logan Stanley on the back end, who's, you know, I mean, he's not a top pairing guy, but he's big, got great length, and he can contribute, minutes at least.
Minutes. I have a friend who's a hardcore Jets fan, and Logan Stanley's the bane of his existence, so he can contribute minutes and a body.
Right, exactly, and sometimes that's what you need,
hey.
Right? It's the Nikita Zadorov, you know?
Yeah, there you go, boom.
We're going to wrap up with our sort of predictions, but I could see this being only a three-team playoff division.
Oh, absolutely. This is a weak division. Absolutely.
Yeah. Having said that, there's also opportunity because I think Winnipeg, Nashville, and St. Louis are all kind of in the – and I'll toss Minnesota in there as well.
Yeah.
Are all kind of in the same boat where it's like they're not great teams. They're not terrible.
It wouldn't shock you if they made the playoffs. Yeah. It also wouldn't shock you if they didn't.
Yeah, yeah. It could go so many different ways. It's kind of, yeah, that mushy middle. But I am excited to see what Gabe Vilardi can do, where, you know, he can take on a bigger role in Winnipeg. And, mm-hmm. you know, he was really coming on strong in Los Angeles. He had a lot of injury problems early in his career.
But he really did come on in Los Angeles last year.
Yeah, so let's see what he can do for Winnipeg. That could be very exciting for them.
Even just as a pure goal scorer, he was good. Yeah. All right, Ryan, so let's do our rankings, and then we can hit the old dusty trail. So hit me with yours first, and I'll go next.
Okay, so I think Dallas is going to win the division. Okay. I think Colorado's too, because they know that they don't have to win the division. Mm-hmm. And then, who else do we have as a playoff team? Is it Winnipeg? Do I have Winnipeg third?
You tell me.
I'll say Winnipeg because they got Connor Hellebuck. And then I'll say Minnesota, St. Louis, Nashville, Arizona, Chicago. And I think it's a three.
It's a three playoff team.
I think it's three playoff teams. I think it's five Pacific, three Central this year.
Interesting. All right. Well, I'm going to go Colorado 1 at the top of the division. Then I go Dallas 2, Minnesota 3. I think the fact that they have, you know, the Kirill Kaprizov, guys like that, and Gustavsson is either of their goalies can go on a run, I think. So that'll really help. So that's the 3. Then after that, I think I'm going to have Winnipeg, then Nashville, St. Louis, Arizona, Chicago.
Yeah.
The three, and I think Minnesota will be like the second, like it will be the eighth seed.
Right.
But yeah, so this is, I wish I could make a pun because I can't, but like this is the division of mid, if you will. Like I really do think that there are a lot of teams that really don't excite me.
They're good, not great.
There are two at the top that are phenomenal and they do excite me. I think they're going to be great. Yeah. There are two at the bottom that have, I would say, some of the brightest futures, at least on the ice in the league. Yeah. And then everything in the middle is bleh to me. It's very mundane, if you will. But we'll be back next week to start off the Eastern Conference. You know, every day the season draws closer, and we get closer to the best time of the year, as I like to say. Ryan, see you next week.